is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When Governor Snyder pushed through a repeal of the PPT, the personal property tax, in late 2012, it was seen as a good step towards encouraging businesses to set up and expand in Michigan. But local governments took it right on the chin. Many were in line to lose a significant source of revenue as the PPT was phased out. But there's some good news to report for municipal officials worried about that great big hole in their budgets. A package of bills has been introduced in the state Senate to plug that hole without having to revert to anything like the PPT, which Governor Snyder called the second dumbest tax in Michigan. And even better news, this whole thing seems to have just about everyone on board, including both Democratic and Republican lawmakers. Here to talk about it is Kathleen Gray from the Detroit Free Press Lansing Bureau. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good to have you with us. And we always are glad to welcome MLive's Capitol reporter, Jonathan Oesting. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
Sure enough. Kathy, start with giving us a refresher on the PPT and why the governor called it the second dumbest tax in Michigan, right behind the Michigan business tax, which, of course, he chucked in his first year in office.
Well, the tax is a tax on equipment. It's a tax on office furniture. It's a tax basically on businesses and what they have to use to do their business. And people saw that as just a real disincentive for companies to invest in new equipment, invest in new office furniture, invest in all different sorts of things. So there was a real push to kill the PPT. However, communities have just been hammered. They've lost $6 billion, that's billion with a B, in revenue sharing over the last decade. They're also losing a ton of property tax revenues because of the housing bubble that happened. So if they eliminated this, it would really, really hurt a lot of communities. And when they passed this bill back in 2012, there wasn't assurances that there would be a replacement revenue for the communities that get the personal property tax.
And some of these communities really got hit hard, the ones that had a lot of businesses in them. If they were a bedroom community, maybe not so much?
Well, I mean, look at a community like eCourse, has lots of manufacturing. The personal property tax accounted for 45.8% of their budget. River Rouge, it's 56% of their budget. Ypsilanti, it's 6.5% for the city of Ypsilanti. You know, so yeah, the communities that have businesses and manufacturing facilities are really hurt hard by this.
So, Jonathan Oesting, it appears lawmakers have heard the howls of pain from the municipalities. What have they come up with to plug that hole in local government budgets?
Sure. Well, they've not only heard the howls, but they're also looking at the ballot in 2014.
There's that.
This, the replacement revenue portion is going to be put before voters. So they were expecting opposition from municipal leaders, et cetera, if they didn't address this issue. So what they're doing, what they're proposing, is setting aside a larger share of the state's use tax, which is applied to out-of-state purchases. We're supposed to pay this when we make internet purchases, for instance, although a lot of people don't. So they're going to set aside a larger portion of the use tax to make up for some of the lost revenue. And there's also going to be a statewide assessment for businesses that are newly exempt from the PPT. Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley said he expects still businesses to save about 80% over what they were paying previously under the PPT, and at the same time reimburse local communities for all the money that they would have lost under this repeal, which is being phased in slowly.
So the package would plug 100% of the budget hole left from repealing the PPT?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. The use tax, it wouldn't be a percentage of the use tax. So it wouldn't grow or shrink the amount of revenue they're sending to municipalities. Cali said they've actually settled on a dollar figure for each community that would be appropriate, matching the amounts that they were receiving previously.
And Kathy, the businesses then paying this tax, it is not as big a hit as the old PPT was for them, right?
Right, it's not. And as much as the tax itself it was for them, it's the administration of it. It's a very, very convoluted tax that has lots of different formulas and stuff like that. So it was a bureaucratic nightmare, not only for the businesses, but for the communities who had to collect it.
So I'm curious, who's on board for this tweaking? Who's supporting this?
You name it, just about everybody is.
Yeah. As you mentioned in your opening, just about everybody. As I was discussing, it's going to be on the ballot. So there was real fear that an organization like the Michigan Municipal League would oppose it. If they did oppose the replacement revenue portion, it could actually undo the entire PPT repeal. There was a real desire by the administration here to get everybody on board. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly led these talks for about a year and a half, involving small businesses, large businesses, county associations, municipal league. So pretty much everybody who needed a seat at the table seemed to be there.
And it was fairly unusual. You don't see a press conference that has both Republicans and Democrats from both the House and the Senate. And yesterday when they had this press conference to announce the compromise, both Republicans and Democrats were on board as well.
Well, in fact, let's go into that a little bit from both of you. How often is it as Capitol reporters when you have everybody kind of singing from the same page in the hymnal?
On little bills, there's usually pretty widespread support, but on these big things, you're always going to find some dissent, and it doesn't seem to be there.
Sure. I think a lot of, as Senator Rebecca Warren said yesterday, a lot of Democrats didn't really like the PPT either, but they ended up voting against the plan that passed in 2012 because of these fears over, the dollars sent to communities. A lot of communities, same thing. They didn't really love the PPT either because it discouraged business growth in their community. But, they weren't really willing to get on board with a plan that was going to hurt their bottom line either. This seemed to satisfy both sides of the aisle and both sides of the business community debate as well.
Giving some idea of the kinds of municipal services that would be hurt, where the money was going to be lost, and oh hooray, it looks like it'll come back again. What were cities going to have to do without because of the PPT repeal?
Well, the initial bill that passed had some provisions in there for essential services, police, fire, that type of thing. But the other things that would be lost at the time would be, parks and rec, those types of things, the things that are deemed non-essential. This new version deals with everything. The assessment that is going to be put on businesses is supposed to be for essential services. So there will be a steady funding stream definitely for police and fire. And if there's full replacement, 100% replacement, then everything else that your community does should be able to receive the funding.
So how quickly might we expect to see this thing get through both the Senate and the House, Jonathan?
Sounds like it's going to move very quickly. The Senate Finance Committee is actually taking it up in about 20 minutes, so one day after it was introduced. There's a procedural 5-day rule, meaning that the Senate can't actually vote on it until next week, so they'll probably do that Tuesday. And the House expects to complete the work at some point in March. They hope to send it to the governor's desk by the end of next month.
And that would be in plenty of time to have all the ruffled feathers smoothed in time for voters to go to the polls in August and say yes to replacing that revenue with the 6% use tax.
Yeah, and they also have to change the language that will be before voters as well on the ballot proposal. So there's a number of reasons why it's essential to get it done quickly, and it looks like they're going to.
Well, it isn't often we can say something that's happening in the legislature is win-win for everybody, and we've got everybody on board. So it would be nice to see more of that. I think we can all agree.
Knock on wood.
Kathy Gray of the Detroit Free Press, Jonathan Osting of MLive, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Libby.